Okay, I want to talk today about the topic of giving kavod to your father-in-law, giving kavod to your grandfather, grandparents, and giving kavod to your older brother. Why are we talking about these topics this week? Because this week is the mitzvah of kabed es avicha v'yasinecha, kibud avoim. Now, besides kibud avoim as an outgrowth, an outshoot of kibud avoim, is the question: is there a chiyuv derabbanan, chiyuv deraisa, is there a minhag to give kavod to a person's father-in-law? And by extension, once the mitzvah of kibud avoim, is there a mitzvah to give kavod to one's grandparents, aviho af, aviho aim? And also, what about giving kavod to an older brother? So these are the different issues relating to the mitzvah of this week's parsha. First, let's begin with what it says in Yoredeya. Yoredeya that says the Feresh, the Ramah holds that a person has an obligation to be mechabed his father-in-law. The Gros says in the Gros writings, there's a letter that the Gros wrote. The Gra in his letter indirectly said the mitzvah of giving kavod to your father-in-law is a mitzvah de oraisa. It seems that it's included giving kavod to one's father. Where's the makar for this halacha? So there are two makaras. One is the sixth parsha. That's really where it comes from. Besides the fact that there's a mitzvah of kibud avoim, the sixth parsha, kavod v'yasinecha, the mitzvah of vayetze Moshe likras chosnai. And it says, what was the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Vayetzi l'gas chosnei vayishtachu vayishaklo." He bowed down to him, he kissed him, and he served him. And they all ate lefnei halukim. Rashi says, "Meizadig in the pasuk." And Moshe Rabbeinu was the waiter. Moshe Rabbeinu was serving as the waiter for his father-in-law. So here we learn that there's a mitzvah deraisa to give kavod to your father-in-law. This week is one of the main makaris for this halacha. Another very important makar for the halacha is David HaMelech. When David HaMelech was being chased, was being pursued by Shaul, Shaul was his father-in-law. Shaul promised anyone that kills Goliath Hagiti will be given his daughter Michal in marriage. And David was the one that killed Goliath. So David was married to Michal Bashal. So Shaul was his father-in-law. And of course, as all goes in good relationships, father-in-law Shaul wanted to kill him. Not only did he want to kill him, he tried to kill him many, many times. And he told his people that he was target number one. He was on the FBI's most wanted list. Public enemy number one, he was number one on the list. And part of their dialogue, when he actually met up with him, is David HaMelech, he said to him, Avi, Re'ei, he called him, my father, see, I don't mean any harm. I could have killed you, I could have done this to you, but you see, I didn't do anything to you. Part of the conversation, I don't have the exact pasuk at the tip of my tongue, but David called Shaul Avi, my father. Why did he use the title Avi? Why did he just say Melech, the king, or call him Shaul? From here we learn Chazal and Rebbe Allah that a person has an obligation to give kavod to his father-in-law, even when his father-in-law is trying to kill him. You still have to give kavod. Look, Yisrael was no different. According to the Medrash, Yisrael threw Moshe into a dungeon for 7 years. So he wasn't exactly, it wasn't a tzaddik. He didn't get along very well. Why? Because he suspected. He suspected he was a strange bird. He was a fugitive. Could be that if Par would have found that Yisrael was harboring a terrorist, then Yisrael could have been in a lot of trouble. So Yisrael put him in a dungeon. A dungeon didn't feed him, and it was a miracle, Malam Derech HaTeva, that Moshe survived in the dungeon. And after all that, we find Vayetze Moshe Likras Chosna Vayishtach Vayishaklu, he bowed down and he kissed him. Here is another makar that a person will give kavod to his father. So we have two makars. And these makars are very, very big differences in halacha l'maisa, and these makars we'll come back to in one moment. But here are two. Let's go to another makar.
Say this to your mother-in-law?
What?
Sister?
Oh, so the question then is, what about a mother-in-law? So you're making a very good question. Some of these reasons that we're going to present have an afkamina, does it apply to a mother-in-law as well? So in these two sources, you don't see anything about a mother-in-law, you only see something about a father-in-law. David, he called Avi. You don't find David speaking to his mother-in-law at all. And you don't find anything about, Yisro's wife. So in Echanami, you don't find the Mukar. Now let's go to another source. Another source is Yaakov and Lavan. Another very interesting relationship. Didn't exactly get along very well, Yaakov and Lavan. Lavan tried to steal and to take away the Parnassah. Take away his parnasa. How many? Was it 10 times? And then at the very end, he had no choice. Yaakov had to flee, had to escape, had to run away. Ki barach Yaakov. He fled without even allowing Lavan to say goodbye, without saying goodbye to Lavan. Yet we find something very fascinating, that when Lavan does finally catch up with Yaakov Avinu and they make a treaty, Yaakov says Vayikra le'achei Lavan le'achavikra le'achav. He calls out to his brothers and he says, let's now make an arrangement, let's make a treaty, let's put up these stones and we'll call Yigas Hadusa. In that conversation we find that Yaakov calls to his brothers. And Chazal says, who are the brothers? The brothers are a reference to Lavan's children, Lavan's men. Nowhere do we find Yaakov referring to Lavan with that expression. Another why, to make a long story short, is because when Lavan caught up with Yaakov, Yaakov let Lavan sit at the head of the table. Even though I hate you, I'm not on good terms with you, I have to run away from you, but listen, once you're already here, you've come into my house, okay, the Shver is here, the Shver sits, is Yoshev Rosh. He had Derech Eretz for his father-in-law, even when his father-in-law pursued to kill him and caught up with him. We only find Yaakov addressing Lavan's children as Echov, and we don't find Yaakov addressing Lavan in any way whatsoever, because that implies that Yaakov gave Lavan extra special kavod when Lavan did indeed come up, to teach us that a person is chayiv to give kavod to his father-in-law. Okay, so we have over here these sources. Now, the truth is, not everyone agrees that there's a chiyuv. The Gra says the Farish giving cover to a father-in-law is a din d'oraisa. However, the Shach and the Chayi Adam disagree. The Chayi Adam, was a Mashanach with the Gra, right? Was the Mashanach with the Chayi Adam? And I remember exactly what the Chayi Adam holds. There's no chiyuv, no intent to say that he will cover to a father-in-law. And this that you give cover to a father-in-law is only a minog, that's a takana. It's not even clear what it is. It's kishor zikenim chashuvim. No difference than another old person. They have a zaken, and they save a takim. So a person shver is older than you, so you give him cover midin a zaken, but you don't have to give him cover midin not a din a doiraisa. Now someone is say chiddush. Now, when it comes to a father-in-law, the kavod is only, you only have to give him kavod. You don't, there are two dinim by a parent. There's kavod and mora. Kavod is to give honor, to feed them, to stand up for them, to respect them. And then there's something called mora. Mora means you don't sit in their place. Mora means you don't contradict their words. It's an entirely different set of category in Shulchan Aruch. So many Paiskim say there may be a din of kavod to a father-in-law, but there is certainly no din of mora, of fear to a father-in-law. You have to have respect. Like any other person, you deserve a certain degree of respect. But you're not limited to contradict. You want to have an argument? You want to argue, you want to contradict him, you can do so. You want to sit in this place, you can do so. There's a halach, let's say a person, a father has a burial plot. He purchases for himself a special makom for his kavura. And then the sof yomav, he decides, you know what? I don't want to be buried here. The real estate is not so good. It's not so good, I'd rather go to Eretz Yisrael. Circumstances change. Is a child allowed to take over that burial plot that was miyuchid for the father? The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is osir. That's a din of kavod. I'm not even sure if it's kavod or mor, it's osir. That mokum that was miyuchid for a person's father, even if the father changes his mind, doesn't want to use that mokum, a child cannot bear that mokum as a din of a kavod for the father. But when it comes to a father-in-law, it's not so. Because a father-in-law does not have that's a din, it seems it's borders on the din of mora, not on the din of kavod. Okay, another very interesting shayla. It's very common shayla. Go have an aliyah in Beis HaKnesses. A simcha. Everyone knows the halacha that two brothers cannot get aliyahs back to back. A father and a son cannot get aliyah back to back. Can you get an aliyah with your father-in-law back to back? You're invited for a family simcha, and the only two aliyahs that are available is to give the son-in-law and the father-in-law. Are the two allowed to get the aliyas back to back? Halacha l'maiska, most poskim say no, it's aser. Because the rules of ayin, the reason why you don't give two people aliyas back to back is because of ayin hara. And ayin hara, the rules of ayin hara in turn are determined by posul l'edus. If two people are posul l'edus, that is included in the din of ayin hara. So father and a son, two brothers, a father-in-law and a son-in-law are posul edus that overflows the laws of ayin hara. The male of these two cannot get an aliyah back to back. That's a very important halacha for a gabai, and it can be very, very, very difficult when it comes, especially comes to a family simcha when the aliyahs are limited, and you want to go break it up like that. That pretty much seems to be the halacha that father and son-in-law do not get aliyahs back to back. Now, there's a very big interesting shaila. What happens if a person's wife says, person's wife, well, this not really the father-in-law, but it borders on this relationship where a wife says to her husband, if you go to your parents to keep it avoim, you it's either me or your parents. It's not such an uncommon shiloh. Where the wife says, I can't stand my in-laws. I can't stand my father-in-law, I can't stand my mother-in-law. I'm not going to visit them. And you know what? You're also not going to visit them. Because when you go to visit them, you come back with instructions and complaints, and it's not good for our marriage. So therefore, I'm giving... What? Yeah.
The mother always whispers to her son, your wife.
Okay, but the shaila is, what happens? The mother says, okay, whatever, when it comes to a case where the wife says, it's either me or your parents. Make a choice. You want to go to the parents, then the marriage is over. And otherwise, if you're going to stay with me, you can't go to your parents. The wife is asking the husband to be mevatel a mitzvah asay de'oraisa of kabed esavicha v'yasimecha. Does a wife have a lacha? So, and I saw the shaila, I said, of course the parents come first. That's what I thought right away, because that's a mitzvah de'oraisa. It's a mitzvah de'oraisa of kabed esavicha v'yasimecha. What? Both ways, it goes both ways. That I was made a major mistake, and it says Beferish and all the truths, the Ksav Sefer gets the credit for this one. Well, the Chassan Sefer, I think the Chassan Sefer, his famous Shuvi says the halacha is the wife comes first. You have to listen. Shalom Bayis has Kedima over Kibud Avoim. Why? The Makor is Sota. Sota, Hashem's name is erased in order to make peace between man and woman, man and wife. So parents, why are you mechabi the parents? Because they're shutafim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your creation. But from Sota we learn that Shalom Bayis comes first. So in a shaila where a wife says to her husband, see their
way.
Either way.
She has to accept the truth.
Yes, correct. That either way, that when it's a question between your spouse and your parents or your in-laws, your spouse comes first. That's the psak of the Chassan Sefer. Now, obviously, you can't just use this as a blanket halacha. Every situation is different, but this is the general template for the halacha. Fascinating yisoid is how far Shalom Bayis goes.
What do you think your own father is a Russian?
No, then you're not mechuyev. That's for sure not. The father says v'mechal Shabbos. We learn from the pasuk. The father says ish imo v'yav tiyav yesh Shabbos soisai tishmaru. What happens if that if your father tells you to v'mechal Shabbos, you have a drasha. It's a ferish drasha. You don't listen to a parent that tells you to do an avera. That's by extension of what it says in the Shabbos soisai tishmaru.
Again, it gives you bad advice.
You can't generalize. You can't generalize. Every situation is different, but the basic rule is when it comes to Shalom Bayis has Kedima over Kibud Avoim. That's a general rule. General rule.
Again, you mean the Shalom Bayis card? I mean just you and your father.
So then when a general rule is if the father is telling to violate halacha, You don't mechabed the parents. You don't mechabed. You have shalos. You have many. The very common shalos are balei tshuva. children, let's say teenagers, adolescents, that they want to be observant, and they go home. They're being supported by their parents, and they go home for a Yom Tov, and the home is not kosher. The food is not kosher, and if you're not going to eat at the meal with the parents are going to be insulted. So what do? Tough shiloh. So the basic answer they give is you can't. You're not allowed to eat on kosher. You can be very lenient. You don't have to eat chol of Yisrael. You don't have to eat chasidish shechita. And there are many kulis if the kelim are not ben yomo. The kelim are not. You're not eating something that's hot. You're eating using a fork, and the fork is not. It's more than 24 hours, even if it's cold, even if it's hot, and it's more than 24 hours. There are many leniencies in halacha. I have to look for those leniencies, but the bottom line what I've heard is that if you go home to your parents, if a child who became firm goes to his parents, the parents are feeding him lamash chazer, child is not mechuyev to eat chazer. He's not mechuyev because he wants to be good to his parents to eat the chazer. You don't have to eat the kelim. You can eat from the non-kosher kelim as long as it's not mamish treif. But there are definitely limitations. Okay, let's go to another. So the apostle Edus, okay, so it's Shol. Now there's a nafkimina here. Okay, here's a very interesting shot. What happens? A person give cover to his father-in-law. Let's say he's no longer married to his wife. Let's say he got divorced, or let's say his wife dies. Does the chiyuv giving cover to the machlekes between the Ramah? The Ramah holds the chiyuv deraisa, father-in-law, and the other person can say it's only midrabban takana. What happens if there is no wife? The relationship has now been severed. Is he still mechuyev to give cover to his father? Because once upon a time he was the father-in-law. So let's say there are no children. Let's say there are children, no children. These are all many variables. So shockingly, some want to say that all depends on the makar. Let's go back to the ikar makar for giving cover to a father-in-law. David and Yisrael. When David called his father-in-law Shaul, when he called him Avi, was he still married to Michal? No.
But he was always married to me.
But it's not so clear he was always married. Definitely, one point in time, he was taken away from Michal. I remember the psukim. He was separated from Michal. He was separated. Shaul took Michal back. And therefore, at that point in time, the psukim say that David was no longer, at that point in time, connected, associated. Was she an aguna? I don't know. But she wasn't associated with Michal at that point in time.
You don't know if there was Gershon.
What?
You don't know if there was if she was actually a Grusha
from David. From David at that point, I don't know. Maybe later on he took her back. I don't know. I don't know. But seemingly at this point in time, according to similar studies, he was not associated with her. At least, living socially, and yet David is giving cover to his father-in-law by calling him Avi. So you see that once a father-in-law, you're always a father-in-law. There's no way out. There's no way to get out of a father. You have to give cover forever and ever.
Even after divorce
and death, that is one thing that will never go away by a wedding. The father-in-law, the wife, you can forget. You can pay the ksuba. Goodbye and good luck. I'll never see you again. But you'll never get rid of. Doesn't say the mother-in-law, but the father-in-law. That's what someone person want to say. They bring a right from David. It's a shocking halacha. On the other hand, Moshe, the other makor that we learned the halacha of giving cover to a father-in-law comes from Moshe. Yisro, Moshe gave cover to Yisro. Yisro brought him his wife. That's what it says in Rashi. That Yisro, Moshe, when he went to save Klal Yisrael, he did it without Tzipora. Because when he brought them, Hashem said to him, "You don't have enough problems here. You bring more people into Mitzrayim, more problems." So he sent them back to Yisro. And now, when it was all over, Yisro went and he brought Tzipora. So his wife was on. Here we find Moshe giving cover. So the implication is that if the relationship has been severed, there no longer is a mitzvah to give cover to a father-in-law. So this is all shaila, how far it goes, even when the relationship is no longer in existence. Now some want to say, what?
On a practical level, on a human level.
Right, these are all theoretical things. Yes. These are not halacha lemaisa. Every situation is different.
You really should appreciate your father-in-law.
And then there's also the question is, you're just coming to define halach. Is there a mitzvah, deraisa? And you want to define halach. Is it a mitzvah deraisa? Is it dar acheres? Like I read yesterday, Rav Chaim Kinevsky, he doesn't go, he's never Masada Kedushin. It's very rarely Masada Kedushin. But a bris, I don't know now, it's probably not so easy for him now, but years ago, when someone would invite him to be a sannik for a bris, he went. No matter who, no matter what, no matter where. He traveled long distances. So why? A wedding, you know, all the cameras are clicking. A wedding today, we get people spend a lot more on weddings. And so he said, a wedding, a misada is a covet. A covet. I don't need the covet. I have enough covet. I don't need the covet. A sandik is a mitzvah. Sandik, a mitzvah, you're mechuyev to go. Covet, no covet. So you're not mechuyev. If I want the covet, I'll take it. I don't want it. So same thing. You're right. Halacha l'mayasa, practically speaking, every situation is different. You can't generalize. Every situation is different. You're going to give cover to the father-in-law no matter what, and this and that. But it's always good to know, is it a mitzvah, daraisa, or is it a stam derech eretz, nimus? It's nimus. It helps to know. There are nafkaminas. It helps to know to define the what you're dealing with. Okay, now someone has said, this is a very interesting svar, someone has said, there's a lot of nafkaminas in regard to this. The reason why you're mechuyev to give a father covet, even daraisa, a father-in-law, is because a man and a woman are two halves of one body. So the same way her father is your father. Because ish v'isha is a chatzi guf. Once a person marries a woman, a woman marries a man, they're considered to be one guf. One guf means your father is now my father, and her father, and they all merge. So it becomes a chelik of being called a father. Okay, and then, would it make a difference? I mean, maybe you'll say the same thing. When they separate, does it go away? I don't know, yes or no. A very big unresolved question, which also we mentioned before, they disagree on this matter. The base Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Yudah Shmelkis, and Rav Nassim Levine, I saw this written up, is a son-in-law yarshening his father-in-law's rabbanus. Very big shaila. Now, before he asks that shaila, let's go to another shaila. Does a son yarshen the rabbanus of a father? Meikar din yes. Meikar hadin yes. Halacha l'maisa, is it done today? Not necessarily. What is a contract? Right, even with the contract.
Didn't start until like 1600.
But meikar hadin. We once had a whole shiur on this. So it's a very tough shaila. There's a din that comes from kohuna. And it comes to Shiloh when it comes to a melech, malchus, man malke rabbanah, melech goes be Yerusha. Kohuna, la'aron ulabanav. There is also.
The rabbanus is not good.
Oh, so that's the question. Where does rabbanus, where is Sarar? So where does rabbanus fit in this, and fit in malchus and kohuna? This is big blot. It's a big Shiloh. Where, what's the halacha? It appears many places can say it does. Me'ikr hadin. Not getting into the 21st century with all the complications of contracts and the chukos ha'amim and expectations from it's a different world today. So let's work with this yisrael. Let's enter the world of make-believe. Mr. Rogers will go into the world of make-believe and let's assume that pihalacha son yarshins the rabbanus of the father. As many paiskim say it does. Even at Hayom Hazeh. What about a son-in-law? When there is no son, there are only daughters. Does a son-in-law have kedima? Can he be teveya in Besdin? The father-in-law died. I want to become now the Rosh Shiva. I now want to become the Rav. What is the halacha? What? Labab Treb was a son-in-law from the Friedrich Rebbe. So okay, but there, that's right. There was haskamas, nepotism. That's not right. It's always a different story. That's the problem. So these shiles, everything is always a different story. All theoretical. So it's a big machlokes apayiskin. Some say it doesn't go that far. You call the father, it's a one-way street. The son-in-law has chiyuv to be mechabe the shver, even the araisa. But it doesn't mean that Yimam is the son. He's not a Yoyrish. No one says a son-in-law is Yoyrish. The daughter may be Yoyrish, not the son-in-law. Mammon. When it comes to the Mammon, the money goes to the sons, not to the daughters. That's nothing to talk about. So when it comes to Sarara, Why should it be different? There's no such thing. Others say Swara is not a din mamon. Swara is a din of kavod. It's a reciprocal. The same way the son-in-law is mechabe the shver, he my father, avi, I'm your ben when it comes to inyone kavod, and one of the inyone kavod is Swara, is rabbanos, and it does go down. This throughout the ages has been a big machlokes. It seems.
Problem with both of them. That's the problem.
What? There, it's much more complicated above than that, from what I understand. There's also things, he said this and he said that, and you know, everyone's fighting this one said, that one said. And even whatever they said, it doesn't matter. It's different. I'll do whatever I want anyway. I have my followers. So, like I said, it's not like Elohim Lemaisa. It's all very theoretical. So, if I'm not mistaken, the Beis Yitzchak and the Nassim Levi, they argue on this matter. I don't remember who says what. I think the Beis Yitzchak says yes. Then he says he does go down to Yerusha to a son-in-law, and the Rav Nosson Levine says it doesn't. It doesn't. The interesting is that the Rav Nosson Levine did not Yarshin. Rav Nosson Levine did not Yarshin the Srara.
He went to Reisha.
He got his own job. Yeah, he got a job in Reisha. Remember that person who came here, Rav Shmelka Pinter's great grandfather was the Rav in Reisha before Rav Nosson Levine.
What was his name? Pinter?
His name, I guess, I don't know. I don't think so, no. So after he was Nifter, his children did not want the Rabbanus. They could have taken it, they did not want it, so they had all elections, they had a search. And who got the Rabbanus? Rav Nosson Levine. And Rav Nosson Levine was Nifter, they wasn't so well accepted in Reisha because the Hasidim did not want to accept Rav Nosson Levine. Rav Nosson was married to the daughter of Yitzhak Shmelka. The reason why the Hasidim did not was because Rav Yitzhak Shmelka is swear, you can't leave. Mrs. Klein, you can't leave yet. Mrs. Klein.
Mrs. Klein, Sarah.
She left. Okay, I wanted to hear that. I wanted you to hear this.
Oh, yeah.
The reason why they objected to Rav Yitzhak, Rav Nosson Levine, is Shtela being the Rav of Reisha, because he was married to the daughter of the Beis Yitzhak. The daughter of the Gadol Hadar, this was a son-in-law, they said that her shaitlach were too stylish. The kala, the kala is too shame. You told me that, right? So they said, it's not our impression of a rav. So therefore, they objected. But they got along. The young ones, they accepted him, they got along. And then when Rav Nosson Levine was nifter, the Reisha Rav was a rav in another town, and they came to get him. They offered the shtela to Rav Nosson Levine. He didn't come for the shtela. They came to him for the shtela. So this is a big machlokes. That's what I wanted you to hear. I thought you found that interesting. Okay, so this is the machlokes. This is
they had shaitlach back then.
They did.
Sure. Yeah. And that was more
Okay. So the next Shaila. Another Shaila is, does a son-in-law say Kaddish for the Shver? A son-in-law say Kaddish for the Shver. Now first of all, the Gemara is coming very soon. The Gemara talks about the big sugya of Avelis. Is a son-in-law that he sits Shiva for the Shver? So the Gemara says, so these are the issues. So the issue is, does he sit? So the Gemara basically says, yes, but only in the presence of his wife. Which opens up a whole new understanding of why a son-in-law has to give cover. There's no cover of giving cover to the father-in-law. The only reason why you're giving cover to the father-in-law is to mechabed your wife. It's just an extension of mechubad mechabed es ishtoi yoyser megufoi, more than you mechabed yourself. I want to be. What's the raya? Would I be mechabed this person? Never in a million years. But I'm a chayv to mechabed this ishtoi. So how am I mechabed my ishtoi? Yoyse megufoi? I have no choice. I have to mechabed. So since the Gemara says the fresh only mechuv to the minoik avelos in the presence of your wife, so it's not a real avelos. If it's a real avelos, then it doesn't make a difference if the wife is present or not present. Only in her presence, because in honor of her, that goes to show that it can very well be that the covenant of a shver is only an extension of the covenant you're giving your wife That's a whole new thing we didn't mention until now. It's a very big chiddush. But if you learn that it's the din of korva, it's my father. He is the grandfather of my children. So then,
but these are all the
rabban. What? So that's a shaila. The rabban. Some say all these things are deraisa. Deraisa rabban is the korva, is the covenant of the wife.
The brother.
S only is a tasmachta. It's only. No, that's not necessarily. It's not so simple. Not necessarily. I don't think so. Yeah, you saw that. I'm not sure. So, kabid es avicha, es l'rabes achiv agadol. Okay, so here the word is nogea. Today it's not nogea because today you can do whatever you want. You can go to shul, there are 100 people saying kaddish together. Who doesn't make a difference? But talk about the time, in ancient times, only one person says kaddish. So if you're going to say kaddish, that means someone else is not going to say kaddish. What right do you have? The person died. You want to say kaddish. There are no sons, only daughters. So you're going to step up to the plate and you're going to say kaddish for your shver. But if you're going to say kaddish for your shver, what? He's not a chi for the yomid, but he wants to say kaddish. What? He's not a chi for the amud. But let's talk about an ancient time when only one person said kaddish. It used to be there were many kihilas, not like today. Today, it's a free for all. It's a free-for-all. Okay, a few holdouts. But if you're going to say the Kaddish, you're in a place where only one person is saying Kaddish, and you're going to say Kaddish, you're denying someone else saying Kaddish. What right do you have to go and take away someone else's Kaddish because you're not a real Chiv, you're only saying Kaddish for your Shver. Oh, I am a Chiv. Who says I'm not a Chiv? This is a big machlokes. This is a question how far it goes. Is the din of saying Kaddish a din of covet? Is it a din of Moira? Is it a din of Aliyah for the Neshama? Where exactly does Kaddish fit into this big shayla of giving honor to a father-in-law? Now I'm clear. Machlekas apayskim. Some say you mamish, you take the malim and mekoymai. You mamish malim and mekoymai. You're a child. You have a chiv 100% to say kaddish, and you can knock off other people who also would otherwise be saying kaddish for their father, because you're just as good. Your father-in-law, you were the only one. The same, not necessarily. So it's a very big machlekas. Ramah, Shach, Hayodam. The Raisa, the Rabbanon, all the various Makoros, all these different Shilas, and these are just a few interesting inyanim about a father-in-law and your son-in-law. They say it's always works. It's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. There's the past and there's the future. The father-in-law and the son-in-law, what you can expect and demand from your son-in-law.
What happens if
okay, so that's part of the equation. If the daughter is saying Kaddish, so then, I guess not. If you live in a community where it's accepted the daughter says Kaddish, so she has the full right, of course. So then, what do you do? Like in a shul where the woman's only one person says Kaddish. I don't know if there are such shuls like that.
No.
Only one person says Kaddish, and we divide it among the women also. Everyone will listen to the woman behind the mechitza, she'll say Kaddish. Everyone will answer Amen. Could be. This, theoretically, it's possible. Will you find a shul today that does something like that? Not likely, right?
You find
women saying Kaddish. I know in my young Israel, my father, lad, there was a woman, there was only one woman saying Kaddish. So she sat from behind the mechitza. And my father took a lot of heat. There were people there that didn't like it. My father said, no, let her say Kaddish. Let her say Kaddish. And that was in the end of it. And the people there didn't like it. They didn't like it, so too bad for them. But she went solo. She went solo. No, tefillin is a no-no.
Young Israel, women say Kaddish.
There have been women. I don't know.
Solo?
No, not solo.
Never solo. Carol Shulman went a lot.
There were guys who were saying Kaddish.
You can do anything. You go to even a real Haredi place. Women, you don't know what's going on with a woman saying Kaddish. You can say Kaddish. Even the most Haredi place, you'll find women saying Kaddish quietly. But to say it solo, where your voice couldn't be heard, so some shuls have a pshar. You can say Kaddish loud, but there has to be another man also saying Kaddish together with her. So it shouldn't be a Kodalisha Mamish. But there are shuls, my father led this, where the woman was the only one saying. Alright, you know, it's like the paper you show me, they go and they blot out the picture. This is what it is. Women wearing tefillin is a no-no.
They said, no, this was 2 years ago, major controversy, it was all the papers of Herschel Schachter, and why you, yeah, the whole story of Rabbi Shur, he said yesterday, I went to Rabbi Shur, he said yesterday that they wouldn't wear tefillin every single day, they wear tefillin more than then. What did he say? Wouldn't wear tefillin? He said, they're big day sneers. this is their tefillin. Sure. The big day tzniyas. Their big day tzniyas. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz. This is their tefillin. They wear tefillin. He said they wear tefillin the whole day. This is how they wear tefillin, by wearing big day tzniyas. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shev Hashem. When you see a Yiddish woman, she's dressed with tzniyas. This is
who sees women.
This is what he said. Okay. Have a wonderful day. Don't get wet.
Be
very, very careful.
Go home, Shavli.
Is there a beginning?
No, wait, there's one missing.
Wait, we don't have to wait until it's... Oh, you'll take Kaddish now. Take Kaddish.